how easy it is for Jesus to show his disciples to be how to fish. All you need is Christ's presence. Lower the nets, reel in the fish. Where Christ abides, there is abundance. All you need to do is be prepared to collect what his presence draws near. To be prepared, you will need a partner or several partners like Simon, deep water, strong nets, sturdy boats, and a real sense of humility before the generosity of the Lord. If you manage all this, then you will have an all-you-can-eat fried fish buffet with hush puppies, fries, and cornbread before you know it. And really now, what more do you need to recruit strong fishermen than hot hush puppies and Jesus? I hear the question all the time, Father, what can we do to get more priests? Is allowing priests to marry the answer? Ordaining women? What do we do? Now, yesterday I spent the whole day with the University of Dallas Sarah Club on retreat, and we read sections of John Paul II's Pastoris Dabo Vobis. It's his document on priestly formation he put out in 1991. Our Holy Father accurately diagnosed the vocation's crisis as both a cultural disease and an ecclesial malaise. In the culture, we are more apt to hear the gospels of corporate marketing, faux individualism, narcissistic prattling, relativism and subjectivism, hypersexed panting, and near-fundamentalist gospel of scientism and rationalism, and the always destructive and fear-mongering extremes of feminism. Each of these, just as dark spirits always do, specialize in digging under the faith of those called to serve and weakening the foundations of trust and the desire to sacrifice. Corporate marketing begs us to worship mass-produced objects by convincing us that each of us is a unique consumer, all the while shaping us into a corporate eater, a corporate buyer, just like millions of others. Narcissistic individualism preaches the power of me, the source and summit of my universe, a universe where I select my sounds, my taste, my textures, my flavors, my images, and a universe where I am me and you are, if in fact you exist at all, you're here to mirror me to me. Relativism and subjectivism are routine postures for those who know that the truth of the matter doesn't support what they want to hear. And they don't argue. There's only a sly redefinition of what truth really is, and then the casual dismissal of anything so medieval as truth. Rationalism and its religion, scientism, work to kill the supernatural so that the bond between creator and creature is broken. And feminism, in its extreme forms, adopts most of these other isms and undermines the natural created order of sexual differences. And to even utter that sentence in the universities and the churches these days is blasphemy almost. So these are the dark spirits that are tearing our vocation's nets. These are the demons of the age that turn our young men's heads and whisper fear and loathing in their ears. How do you say yes to sacrificial service to the people of God when on a daily basis for 18, 22, 38 years, you have heard that you, as you are the center of the universe, powerful as a purchaser, truly unique as a consumer, virile as a man only to the degree that you are sexual, educated only to the degree that you are committed to scientific rational inquiry and materialism, and deeply afraid of saying anything remotely critical of the feminist dogma that to be equal is to be the same? With all of these riding on your back, you'd strain the vocation's net too. In his document, our Holy Father John Paul II offers the same cure to the vocation's crisis as offered by Paul in his letter to the Corinthians we read this morning. Hold to the faith and sacrificial obedience. You have heard the gospel, hold to it. You stand in the gospel, lift it up. It is through the gospel that we are saved. So why in the world would we want to sell our salvation to our jack-in-the-beanstalk culture of death, fashion, promiscuity, disease, infidelity, superficial spirituality, and all the cults of me? For priestly vocations to flourish, that is, for us to establish an atmosphere, a culture of service, in which young men might hear and see and taste the call to serve and answer yes, we must begin the arduous task of reclaiming the historic faith of the church for the church, and placing at the center of our lives the gospel imperatives of love, trust, and hope. And I don't mean to rattle those three words off like a bingo caller. How many times have you heard faith, hope, and charity, faith, hope, and charity, faith, hope, and charity? There's nothing shy or retiring or pretty about faith, hope, and charity. Each is terrifying in its own way. Each is an awesome delight, lightly flavored with dread. How so? What do you think faith, hope, and charity require of you? A mumbled amen, the occasional dollar in the plate, an hour on Sunday morning? Not hardly. All three require your soul, signed over and freely given. You've been baptized. You've died, you've been buried, and you've risen again with Christ. Probably very neatly and very cleanly and very conveniently. But you're signed up now, claimed for Christ and His forever. To love Him, to trust Him, and to hope in Him is what you do now. Everything must start right there. No ism, no theory, but with Him who died for you. With Him here in the boat, the catch is full and those nets do not tear. There's lots of help. Other fishermen, other boats, other hands to do the work. But the job in front of you is yours. Now, you know I love to ask you difficult questions. So I want to ask you two this morning. Would your life in Christ right now lead a young man to say yes to the priesthood? And two, would your life right now in Christ send a young man screaming into the woods, into the arms of our culture of death? I really wish that I could tell you that it's not your job to stir up vocations, but young men called to the priesthood are often demoralized by the national sex scandals, status-seeking parents, oversexed friends, spirits of rebellion and entitlement, and priests and bishops and DREs and sisters who allow junk to pollute the faith, if not kill it outright. The witness of the lay faithful is needed now more than ever. If our historic Roman Catholic faith is to center our vocational efforts, then we need daily witnesses, daily teachers, and the everyday faithful. And that's you, folks. Here's my challenge for you. Ask one young man this week to consider the priesthood. Just one. One young man to consider the priesthood. Tell him that he's needed. With Christ on board, we put our nets into the deep water and pull for all we're worth. And there's no reason for us to be afraid. The vocations are waiting out there, waiting to hear your word of encouragement and your invitation. Trust me, I know. I was once a vocation prospect myself. They are waiting to be caught. So fish long and fish hard and fish faithfully. But for whatever you do, fish.